let's go. At the end of the parasha, Bilam is about to go back home. And he says to Balak, Va'ato, hineni hoylech la'ani, l'cho yotzecho, asher yaseh ha'mezeh lamcho, b'achris ha'yomi. Right? Now I'm going home. Just about the pasuk, right? Va'ato, hineni hoylech la'ani. Now I'm going home. L'cho yotzecho, I'm going to give you an eitzah. Says Rashi over here, that he gave them an eitzah for Bnei Samoyo. Right? He said, Elokeim shalelus enizima, and if you want to catch them up, the way to do it is with Bnei Samoyo. And then comes the parasha of Bnei Samoyo together with Baal Peor. Right? So Bilam's eitzah was to catch the Bnei Israel on Znus, and together with the Znus came Avodah Zarah. Now, there's Rashi in a few places, it's also Gemara, I think, where they say Le Avdu Bnei Yisrael Shavoyse Ador Avodah Zarah Ela Lahatzir Lehem Arayis. So if we're looking for a connection between Avodah Zarah and Gila Arayis, you don't have to look very far, right? You can look by pretty much go to any Chiloni, right, and ask them if they believe in Hashem. Half of them will say yes, half of them will say no. The ones who say no, why don't they believe in Hashem? Pashut, because if they believe in Hashem, then they have to start keeping Shabbos, they have to stop eating treif, they have to stop all the other things they're doing which they believe are going to be difficult to leave, right? And Mimela, it's kedai for them in their terms, right? It's kedai for them to keep on believing Kula that there isn't a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's matir, the whole Torah for them. So whenever a person has something that he wants to do, and you find Avodah Zarah together with any Avera, so it's not hard to find the Kesher, right? The Pshat is that the Yetzer Hara Pashtus is for the other Avera. In order to find a matir for that Avera, so a person doesn't believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mimela, everything's Mutzah. Le'obdu b'nei Yisrael, Shabbos Sador, Avodah Zarah, Ela lahatir lehem arayis. Right? So, Derech HaPshat, we don't have to go further than that. What's the Keshe? Why was there Avodah Zarah and Znus together? Pashut, because Znus was there. Problem is, I'm a believing Jew. How can I do it? We made Avodah Zarah in order to be matched with Znus. But that's the simple Mahalach. Let's take it a little bit deeper. And as I say over here, is that I was one of my speaking consultants. Right, I have a live-in speaking consultant, right, who always gives me good advice on how to speak, and she tells me that I must always tell more stories. In fact, people like stories. So instead of, I have a great idea how to do it. Instead of saying a pshat, I'm going to tell the story that I once said this pshat. That way, I'm yet another story, right? But anyway, I was once standing at a yahrzeit, actually, at the graveside with a family, and they asked me to speak about the Nefteret. And the truth is, I didn't know the Nefteret very well. I've met her once or twice in my life, but I didn't know very well. So either way, this is what I said. Kach, it's a story and not just what I wanted to say here. But it's brought in the Svarim that the biggest fear that people have is the fear of death. Right? And all fears really come from the fear of death. Rav Moshe Shapira says often that all simcha really comes from what he calls hargashat hayeshut. When people feel that they exist, when you do things that make you feel that you exist, right? People feel the existence. Rav Jacobson actually says, he says that's why people like holidays. He says, because when you put yourself in a different surrounding, you suddenly feel yourself more. Right? You probably just feel your own basic existence, your own basic kiyum. When you change your surroundings, kind of like, you know, you're new in the picture over here, you feel yourself more. And you said the basic simcha comes from feeling yourself in a new situation, but it's a feeling of yourself. Basic simcha always is feeling that you exist. Right? And basic fear that everyone has is the fear that everyone lives with, that they're going to not exist soon. And it's a natural thing, because the Maisa, where our existence isn't, our existence on a physical level at least, isn't a very sure thing. And the many people walk around trying with, you know, every avoidance technique that we have, trying to avoid thinking about it, But we know that we're here on borrowed time, and very soon a person won't be here anymore. Mr. Shem often may have this room, but that's pretty much the maximum. And there's two ways that a person has to get around this big problem that we live with, that everyone's going to die. The one way, which is highly recommended, is to keep Torah and Mitzvahs, and through that we become we're misdabik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And as much as a person sticks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and makes himself a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is immortal, and we made a person lives on, kol kama that he was misdabik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the physicality can go away, the physicality can die, and a person will live on in Olam Haba for forever. The Netzach Nesachim. Baruch Hashem, we Jews, this is what was given to us. Another way in which a person can be immortal is through his children. Right? The person gets married, has kids, right? And even when the person goes away and leaves Olam Hazeh, right, that there's still something left over here, right? Rabbi Avigdor Miller, I think, says that graffiti is a bit of a distortion of a person's desire for Netzchias, right? The person wants to leave an impression somewhere. So that's the basic yetzer for graffiti. But anyway, a more correct way, a more proper way to do it, is that a person leaves behind children, which are brokara de avua, right, uba yerechimoi, that the children are considered a hemshech of the parents, right, and kol haminiach ben kamoitzo is kilo lo meis. Someone who leaves children is kilo, he doesn't die. He's gone, but the children are here, the grandchildren are here, and he has something. In a certain way, a person achieves immortality, right? Not in his own body, but by carrying on what he is through his children and grandchildren. So the interesting aside wasn't really on the agenda over here, but I saw the Mitzvah of Me'elyahu says something very nice. It says that's why in the Torah Yerusha goes to the children. It's not an inyan of just, you know, you think that, you know, kilo, the father's gone, who else is going to get it? You give it to the children. He says, no. He says, the father started a certain job in this world, and he was given kelim to do his job in this world. Who's going to carry on the job now that he's not here? His children. So you give those tools that Hashem gave him to do his job, you give to those people that are carrying on with his job in this world. So that's why Yerusha goes to the children, because they're going to carry on and do the job of the father in this world. So a person is, I don't have the right words to say this, but a person is where he is, a person is what he is, and in order for a person to go beyond what he is, to become something that's immortal, a person really has two different koichas, right? The kilkul of the one koyach is avodah zarah, right? Instead of trying to be mizdabik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in that way becoming immortal, you take that koyach, and you mess it up and you makalkal it, the kilkul of that koyach is avodah zarah. The second way of achieving immortality is through one's children, and the kilkul of that koyach is nus. And again, really, a person has a person's limited. He only lives today, right? If you don't mind the words, but a person lives day. The chol v'shasoki mochar nomus, right? A person lives today, and tomorrow is in the kever. How can he build his tomorrow? He's got two koyachos. One is the emunah and one is through his children. The kilkul of building tomorrow in the correct way of the emunah is avodah zarah. And a kilkul of building his tomorrow, the continuation in this world, but in either way it's a way of building his tomorrow of another form, comes out in znus. And mimela, avodah zarah and znus go together. The Maaseh Shabbos, we know that Shabbos, we say, Sheshes Yimei HaMaaseh, it says the world is going to exist for 6,000 years, Keneged Sheshes Yimei HaMaaseh. Then, afterwards comes the Maaseh Mashiach, and that's Keneged, right? There's Olam Haba, whatever the different stages are, but from where we're looking, we can call it all Olam Haba. And that's Keneged, that's Elef HaShvi, and that's Keneged Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, right? And we have also that the way our week is set up in order to train us for this is for 6 days we work, And on the seventh day, we enjoy what we worked. Ma'ein olam haba, that an olam haba, you can't do anything, and you enjoy what was prepared beforehand. But because of that, the preparing during the week, right? During the week is ma'ein olam hazeh, and we prepare during the week for Shabbos, which is ma'ein olam haba. And that is really preparing today for the future. What's the future? The future is the Shabbos. We have in Siman Reish Nun, the Svarim bring down over there, that someone who prepares for Shabbos and sweats while preparing for Shabbos, says both that sweat is a tikkun for at the Gola Isachet, but it's also Levatala. That someone who's Moitz Levatala, so everyone knows that baking matzah's mitzvah is brought down from the Rizal is a tikkun, right? And someone who sweats while he bakes matzah's mitzvah is a tikkun from there. And the Svarim bring down, it's the same Arizal, it says over here, that when someone who prepares for Shabbos, and the sweat that a person sweats in preparing for Shabbos, is a tikkun for that. Right? What's the Havana? The Havana is preparing during the week for Shabbos, is using your today to build your tomorrow in the right way. It's using your Olam Hazeh to build your Olam Haba in the right way. And Mimela, preparing for Shabbos, and the sweat that a person sweats, the Torah that a person uses, they're doing that, so that's a tikkun for a kilkul of this midah. Simon Reish Mem Beis, the Tur brings down that Kol Hashem Shabbos Kil Chasoi, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Ke'enosh Meichelin Lo. Right, anyone who keeps Shabbos in the right way, even if it was Oved Avodah Zarah Ke'enosh, he gets kara. So he sees also that Shabbos is a tikkun for Avodah Zarah. Okay, now we've gone through 50 simonim of Shabbos. We haven't seen it a tikkun for anything else. It's a tikkun for znus, a tikkun for, right, a tikkun for a kilkul of a koyak of making children, and a tikkun for the koyak of emunah. Both of these are built into Shabbos. Right? More than that, we have Simon Tov Lamed, Shabbos HaGadol. The Prisha there speaks out that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Bnei Israel the drosha, leaving Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim, taking the sheep and shafting it. He said that had to be on Shabbos. That's why Shabbos HaGadol is Dafka Shabbos HaGadol and not Yud Nisan. He says, because when Moshe Rabbeinu told them to leave Avodah Zarah, he said they needed a Shabbos to do that. Shabbos has a koyak of leaving Avodah Zarah. Simon Reish Pei, we have Oynas Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham, his time to be together with his wife is once a week, so it has to Dafka be on Shabbos. Right? We saw Ramazim over there. Shomu B'nei Yisrael Es HaShabbos, B'nei Yisrael Es HaShabbos, Rosh HaTevis Pia. Right? That the time for being together with one's wife and producing children is a special Inyan of Shabbos over here. Now the Inyan of Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, it's building the future in the right way. Now, L'maisa Bilam's Eitzah, at the end of the parasha was, let's be Mekalkel Yizinyonim. Right? What came together, B'nai Tzmayot and Avodah Zarah together. Who made the tikkun for this? Right? Pinchas. Yair Pinchas. Pinchas saw, he got up, and he went to fix it. The beginning of next week's parasha says Rashi, that Pinchas took a lot of flack for what he did. Right? B'nai Israel came, and they attacked him. Right? Ben Puti Zeh becomes and kills a Rosh Shevet for Yisrael. What's Ben Puti Zeh? To Pirushim. Ben Puti Zeh, Ben Yisroi, Shepit Emagolim La Avodah Zarah. Ben Yosef, Shepit Pet for Yisroi. So, Pinchas is called Ben Puti Zeh, right? Ben Putiel was his father. Right? Who did he come from? He came from Yisro, he left Avodah Zarah. He came from Yosef, who had the Maisa with Ashes Potiphar, and he was Metakin the Zinyan. So Pinchas is the one who was Metakin the Zinyanim, Keneged Bilam, and messed up the Zinyanim. And Pinchas is Eliyahu. And what does Eliyahu do through his life? So Eliyahu takes the Klal Yisrael to Har HaKarmel, and he reestablishes the Emunah when the whole of Klal Yisrael is deciding between the Baal and between serving Hashem. And Eli Malach Habris, right? And Neshal Cholofonach, we say. Right? So Eliyahu again comes out with these two inyanim. We always have the Emunah, Avodah Zarah, and Tikkun Habris coming together. Right? That's the inyan of Pinchas, Shepit Pet B'Yitzroi, and came from Yisroi, came from Yosef, and Eliyahu. Now, Shabbos also, we said, is a tikkun for these things, right? Avodah Zarah Nusach is building the tomorrow. And Shabbos is building your tomorrow. And Shabbos is a tikkun for Avodah Zarah. Shabbos is a tikkun for Znus. Right? It's the correct form in a tikkun. So what happens when Shabbos goes away? Motzei Shabbos. Right? As we learned this morning, says the Gemara in Beitza, Dav, Tes, Zayin, Shabbos vayinofash, kevin sheshavas vayavda nefesh. Right? As soon as Shabbos goes away, we have a problem. That we had a certain tikkun, and now that tikkun goes away, and we left without it. So what are we going to do? Right? So we have to try and make up for that tikkun. Says the Tur in Simon, Reish Tzadi Hei, Motzei Shabbos, what do we do? What are all the Zemiris on Motzei Shabbos? Right? Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Tishbe, Eliyahu Gilodi. Right, says the Torah in Siman Reish Tzadi Hei, Mazkirin Eliyahu Hanavi b'Motzei Shabbos. Why? Because when the tikkun of these two inyanim goes away, so in some way we need to try and make up for that tikkun. How do you do it, Mazkirin Eliyahu Hanavi? He was the one who brings this tikkun back. The Maisa, the Achronim over there, speak about how many times we mention Eliyahu Hanavi. This is why I couldn't be Mavatar in saying that. Okay? Yeshayim Rim, right? Anyone remembers? What are the numbers? Yeshayimim, we say Eliyahu Hanavi once. Yeshayimim three times. And Yeshayimim, 130 times. Okay? So two of them we had a pshat for, the third one we didn't have a pshat. Yeshayimim, we say Eliyahu Hanavi one time on Motzei Shabbos. Why? Well, that's simple, because you mentioned him once, so you've done the job, and carry on with other things. Okay? Haraya, that, say the poskim, that when Yom Tov comes, we don't mention Eliyahu Hanavi afterwards. Why don't we mention Eliyahu Hanavi? Says the Beis Yosef, you already said Eliyahu Hanavi once on Motzei Shabbos. Once is enough for the week. So once is good. Zil, carry on. Right? Rav Avadya Yosef, so in his book, used to sing Shalom Aleichem once. No repeating three times. It's not put in the first place to say it three times. Shalom Aleichem once. Boyachem Shalom once. Everything once. Get on with the meal, right? Why do things three times if you can do it once? Okay? It's a good swallow. Three times, says the Bach. It's like everything we do three times is mechizuk. Right, once you've done it three times, you've got a chazaka, so that's great. But why 130 times? So we were stuck. We had this in Shir a couple of weeks ago. I looked around. I did not find a pshat for that. Wednesday night, last night? No. Wednesday night, I was sitting and trying to put this together, and I saw that the gematria of putio is 130. Right? Very, very sweet. It's not for me to make gematrias. But either way, gematria of putio is 130, leave out the vav, and we've got minus 130, and lechera, that's the inyan over here. Okay, zil. Another 3 minutes, or people need to go. Anyone who needs to go can go, otherwise we'll just say another 3 minutes. Va'ato hinini oylech la'ami. Says Bilam, now I'm going home, right? Va'ato, now I'm going home. Hinini oylech la'ami, now I'm going to give you an etza. Ask some of the farshim, what do you need va'ato for? Now I'm going home, now I'll give you an etza. Why now that I'm going home? Why not give the etza before? Why later? What's the word va'ato? Pitum, now's the best time for this eight, so why not before, why not afterwards? What's after? So, I actually heard this a number of years ago. I'll try and repeat it there at Caseda. We know that Avram Avinu built Midas HaChesed in Klal Yisrael, right? Avram Avinu was a big Baal Chesed, and he was Mashrish in Klal Yisrael Midas HaChesed, right? We all considered some Midas Avram Avinu, someone who's Osek in Chesed. And from Avram Avinu came out two children. One was Yitzchak, and one was Yishmael. Yitzchak was a Tzaddik, Yishmael was a Rasha. And the Sfarim bring down, let's go further. Yitzchak then built Midas HaGvura, right? The Midas being powerful, Midas HaDin, Midas HaGvura, Midas HaPachad, it's all the same thing. And from him came out Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov was a Tzaddik, and Esav, as everyone knows, was a Rasha. And then came Yaakov, and Yaakov, the Dag of Yaakov was Mitos HaShleima, and from Yaakov everything was 100%. Okay, and the Sfarim say that Avraham put into Klal Yisrael Midas HaChesed. That Chesed is something that has to be limited. There's a place for Chesed, but it has its Gedarim and it needs to be limited. If a person takes Chesed with no limitations at all, so what he lands up with, right, is Yishmael. Right, what's Yishmael? It says in the Gedarim. Get in other places, the Tesha covering with Zinus came down to the world, and nine were taken by Yishmael. By Zinus, it says in the Torah, Chesed Hu. Right, person, son of a certain of the Surrey Chorus, it says Chesed Hu. Right, Zinus, that's Chesed, it's being nice to people, but being nice to people with no Gedarim, with no place, there's a place that yes, and there's a place that no, so just being nice, and that's Zinus. Right, so there's a place for Chesed, but there's also a place where you have to limit the Chesed. Avraham Avinu was mashrish the chesed, but it needs also a limiting force, which is really what Yitzhak came and put in, which is Midas Adin. Now Midas Adin is also something that's very important. The ability to say no, to make Dorim, to be powerful, right, is also a very important koyach, right? But it's also something that can't be taken to the end extent. It needs to be balanced, right? And from Yitzhak came out an Esav. Esav was the one who was Yoresh Midas Adin from Yitzchak and didn't control it. A Midas Adin without any control turns a person into a murderer. And the correct continuation from Avram and Yitzchak is Yaakov, who took the Midas Chesed from Avram, the Midas Adin from Yitzchak, put the two together, and the balance of the two is the Midah of Yaakov, which is basically called Torah, right? The Midah of Torah, of Emes. Which is the balance. Berkowitz always says that being a fanatic is easy, right? He says being a fanatic is easy. He says because for fanatics the world is black and white, right? There's no decisions to be made. Everything's clear, right? And he says real life is much, much, much more difficult. What Hashem wants for us is not to be the person who never says no to a guest. Right, even when the wife is a week after birth and he's killing his wife, I mean, you can't never say no to a guest. Everything has to be balanced. There's a place for Chesed, there's a place for Gvura, right? And that balance is a very difficult thing. But that's what we're commanded to do in the Maisa, that the Torah is what gives us that balance. It's interesting that Avraham Avinu's tests were all not Bemidas HaChesed. Right? What were his tests? His test of leaving his father, sending Yishmael out of his home, right, separating from Lot maybe, right, until the last one, taking his son to Shechem, all of his tests were Midas HaGvura. By Yitzhak we don't find that. By Yitzhak what we find, it's a bit interesting. By Yitzhak we find that he goes to the Plishtim, and the Plishtim come to fight with him about a Nachal, right? This is the guy whose father took on five kings, he took on the entire civilized world pretty much and wiped them out. Right, the Plishtim come and say, sorry, we dug this well, and he moves out. He digs himself another well. Right? Plishtim come again and say, we dug this well, and he moves out again. And he carries on moving until, right, twice was all he had to do, right? But there's no standing up for himself. Yitzchak, his test that he had over here, the one says this is what he said, and he doesn't have any trust in what's going on. I wanted to suggest maybe be this Derek, Yitzchak's test over here was a test of not being a giver. Yitzchak could have been an Esav, just like Esav was, right? Esav was the son. You can imagine what the daddy would have been like. But his test was to know how to be mevater, to leave off from the Midas HaGvura and let things go. The Navi says at the end of the parsha that we have to remember Tzidkas Hashem, that how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looked after us, right? And the Mephoshim say, what did Hashem do during these days that were so special? The Mephoshim say that Hashem never got angry, right? Everyone knows the whole Cheshbon, that Bilam was the magician, Balak knew how to be, sorry, Bilam's mumchiyut was to find that second in the day where Hashem is angry, and could curse in that second. Now, why does Hashem need to be angry every day? Right? Every day, 1 second, Hashem's angry. What does it mean? Right? But the Havani is basically along the lines that we said over here, is that chesed with no limits is not good. There always has to be a balance between chesed and din. There has to be a little bit of din. There has to be a little bit of, like we started off today, In Chinuch, there has to be a little bit of consequences for what you do. If everything is just straight chesed, it's poshut, it's not a healthy situation. There's always a balance necessary between chesed and din. Now, Rosh Ein Olam Niskayim, when Hashem created the world, it doesn't work. We need a lot of rachamim today. So the whole day is rachamim, but it needs that 1 second of din. And if you don't have that 1 second of din, just that there should be a balance, would be some kind of gedorim, so then that's not a good situation for the world either. And what happened when Bilam came to curse the Jews, for all that time, says Rashi, says all the Mefarshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't get angry. Right? So for days and days, whenever, while this whole process was going on, Hashem never got angry. There never was that second. And some of the Mefarshim actually say that, why is this whole parasha written in the Torah? Because Hashem wanted to show us how much He'll change the world to save the Jews. Right? The most basic building blocks of the world, how much midas adin you pour in, and how much midas arachamim you pour in, and the very foundations of the world. Hashem says, someone's coming to cause problems for the Jews in a way that it's going to wipe them out. I'm going to change the etzem midas adin that comes into the world. I'll stop doing that. I'm going to change the shorshei abriya. Hashem will change for that. That's what the Archaim says. That's why Hashem had to let this whole parasha happen. Al koponim, what happened was Bilam came, and he tried to curse the Jews one day, another day, another day. Hashem didn't get angry. Right? So Hashem doesn't get angry. Hashem doesn't get angry. In the end of it, Bilam says, that's it, I'm going home. I've got nothing to do here. My whole mumchiyot is to find that second of anger. Hashem's not getting angry. Now it's time for me to go home. On the other hand, he says, Va'ato, now that I'm going home, right? We've just had a whole lot of days where we've had chesed, 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 chesed with no balance of din. But there's been chesed and chesed with no balance of din. He said, Va'ato, now that I'm going home, now it's the time to try and cup the Jews on snus. Why? Because we said chesed and chesed with no balancing factor of din, so you'll end up with a Yishmael. Right? And the Mele, there's no better time, says Bilam, to chup the Jews on snus than on a day. We've just had, I don't know how long this whole process took. I don't know if it was 3 days, I don't know if it was 3 weeks. But whatever it was, you've just had a whole section of time which doesn't exist any other time without that 1 second of din. Now it's a time where there's a big petach for znus, and Mimela, that's what he tried to get them on.